Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to Spark London.
We tell true stories.
We tell them live.
And we tell them all across London.
This story was performed by Andy Bodle.
In April 2012.
Where the theme was Back from the Brink.
I remember the exact day when everything changed. Monday the 31st of January, 1983. Up until that day, I minded my own business. I went fishing in the weir for minnows with Podge and Jez. I went sliding down the grassy slopes of Barbary Castle on old cardboard boxes. I got thrashed at contract whist by Mum and Dad and Nana Martin, and I counted down the days to the next episode of Doctor Who. In short, I enjoyed innocent, uncomplicated pleasures that I thought would go on forever. Until that Monday. She wasn't what you'd call classically gorgeous. In fact, no one else seemed to have noticed her. Quiet, slim, average height. And she also had what seemed to be a giant steel girder attached to her face. Yes, she had a dental brace. One of those terrifying Disneyland monorail affairs going all the way around her head. But she had hair like burnt shredded wheat. She had sparkling grey-green eyes that you could get lost in. And when she smiled, it felt like my heart was going to jump out through the top of my head. To begin with, I contented myself with gazing across at Kerry in geography, ignoring the teacher's dronings about the formation of terminal moraines. And during these lessons, if a teacher had asked a question, it would be me that put my hand up first. But now I waited for my beloved to raise hers in the hope that her sleeve would slip and reveal a couple more inches of heavenly forearm. With every passing week, the tom-tomming of my heart and the Lynx attack helicopter circling in my stomach grew louder. But still, I had only the dimmest notion of what was going on. I hadn't been prepared for this at all. I'd heard some of the boys in the playground talking about fancying girls. So I guessed that this was what was happening to me. But somehow, fancy didn't seem the right word. I mean, when you say, I fancy a cup of tea, it means you'd quite like a cup of tea, but it won't be the end of the world if you don't get one. I knew it would be the end of the world if I didn't get Kerry. My mum and dad's idea of explaining the birds and the bees to me was to let me stay up late one night in 1981 and watch Barbarella. And the state didn't do much better. We had one sex education lesson, which consisted of two indecipherable diagrams, some vague mumblings about AIDS, and a five-minute video of a gruff-looking German woman unrolling a balloon over a stick. There was nothing about feelings. There was nothing about whether this was roughly average size for a stick. And more to the point, there were no pointers at all on how you persuaded the German woman to touch your stick in the first place. Still, I knew I was going to go mad if I didn't do something. So, the Friday we broke up for half term, I sought out Sharon Penny. Now, Sharon Penny wasn't very good at French. She wasn't very good at chemistry. But she was top of the class at other people's business studies. She was uncooperative at first, but the offer of two lots of maths homework soon loosened her tongue. She explained to me that Kerry lived in Broadhinton on the main street, which is a village 5 miles from mine. So, 3 days later, trembling with excitement and dread, I gave my bike a thorough wipe down and set off. Now, normally, 5 miles wouldn't be much to ask of an able-bodied 13-year-old on a bicycle. But there were complicating factors. Number one, my chariot wasn't exactly state-of-the-art. It was a four-year-old rally grifter, a sort of bulky proto-BMX with none of the BMX's ruggedness or manoeuvrability. Second, I didn't really know the way. And third, it was -7 degrees centigrade, and we were well into our third consecutive day of heavy snow. Still, somehow, 2 hours later, a pitiful-looking snowman on wheels dismounted outside 128 Post Office Lane. As I brushed off the powder, I stopped to consider, for the first time, exactly what I was doing. I liked Kerry, but would she like me? I had no idea whether I was good-looking or not. I mean, Nana Bodle used to say I was her handsome little man, but she was a bit biased. I was skinny. I was ginger. Amazing how time can change these things. I was a bit of a swot. On the other hand, I was a nice boy from a nice family, well-spoken, reasonably intelligent, and only slightly socially inept. There was only one way to find out. I screwed up my eyes and knocked. After 20 agonising seconds, the door opened, and a young girl, a good 2 years younger than the one I was expecting, appeared. Hello? Hello. What with the cold and the nerves, I was juddering like an arrow in an archery target. What do you want? Very self-possessed was this 11-year-old. Is this Kerry's house? The doorman sneered. Yeah. Now, I'd rehearsed everything meticulously up to this point, but it suddenly dawned on me that I had no idea what I was supposed to do next. Should I ask to come in? Should I ask if Kerry wanted to come out? Probably not. What if she was busy? If she wasn't busy, what were we going to talk about? My mind was as blank and skiddy as the country lanes I'd just cycled over. So I mumbled, OK, thanks. Climbed back on my bike and rode the 5 miles home. I'll never know what would have happened if I'd had the courage to say something that day. But it presumably wouldn't have involved the entire population of the school laughing at me for 2 weeks. Thanks.
For more stories, head to sparklondon.com.
Spark London is produced by Joanna Yates, with audio production by Matt Hill, at rethinkdaily.co.uk.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.